بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وهو خير موفق ومعين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. قال الله الحكيم في محكم كتابه: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر، ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر، سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. The question we were considering was the interpretation that Imam Khomeini offers regarding Laylatul Qadr based on his understanding of the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt. He describes Laylatul Qadr as the night of reunion, the night of Visal between the two Qur'ans, between the Hujjah of the time, between the Imam of the time, between God's Viceroy of the age, and the verbal Qur'an. We were explaining what that means and how that comes about. Two premises were explained in the last session. One, that the first creature, the first being, the first existence created by God, the first existence that emanated from God, was the light of Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. What that means is that the Ahlul Bayt have a lofty, supernal, and exalted existence beyond their corporeal existence that is in this world. And that lofty existence is the first existence below God, the first existence to emanate from God. Their existence in this world is, you could say, a material incarnation of that lofty existence. Now, as to how they are in touch, as to how the connection between these two, between the manifestation, the corporeal manifestation in this world, and that lofty existence, we'll have references, we'll have explanation about that, inshallah, in a future session, inshallah, especially in regard to Tanazzal al-Malaikat wa-Ruh. We'll explain what that Ruh is and how it functions in that relation. Alright, so one premise was that the lofty and supernal existence of the Ahlul Bayt is a very, very high level of existence that is second only to God. That's the first premise. And I mentioned that Du'a-i Rajabiyyah, where we address God and say, لا فرق بينك وبينهم إلا أنهم عبادك. O God, there is no difference between you and them except that they are your slaves. Of course, this exception means the exception between finitude and infinity. Okay? But the point is that they are the highest existence below God. So that's one premise. The second premise is that the lofty source from which Quran derives, as we have described in the previous nights, is the Ummul Kitab, the mother book, the Lawha Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, which must be a very, very high level of existence. Why must it be a very high level of existence? Because based on the points I had mentioned in the previous sessions, God in the Quran says that this Ummul Kitab contains the knowledge of everything. That means that it is a very high spiritual level of existence that subsumes all lower levels of existence. And by subsuming all the lower levels of existence, it contains the knowledge of all lower levels of existence. So, on the one hand, we know that the existence of the Ahlul Bayt is very lofty. And on the other hand, we know that the source of the Quran is very lofty. Now, these two luminous beings, at their very highest level of existence, are either at the same level, or one could say that the existence of the Ahlul Bayt is even higher than the existence of the Ummul Kitab. That's an interesting point. There are rawayat, there are many rawayat that allude to this. But one particular rawayat that is interesting is a rawayat from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Regarding the interpretation of the first verse of Surah Qalam, Nun wal Qalami wa ma yasturun. The first verse of Surah Qalam. The report reads as follows: Wa amma Nun fahuwa nahrun fil jannati. Qala Allahu Azza wa Jal ujmud fajamuda fasara midadan. Thumma qala Azza wa Jal lil Qalami uktub. فستر القلم في اللوح المحفوظ ما كان وما هو كان إلى يوم القيامة. This rawaya says Noon is a stream in heaven. And I have repeated this before, that when the rawayat from the Ahlul Bayt and the verses in the Quran talk about the lofty levels of existence, they speak in symbolic language. Okay, so we shouldn't take the stream as meaning that there is an actual physical stream that is what this riwayah is referring to. وَأَمَّا نُون فَهُوَ نَهْرٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ نُون. Okay, thank you. نُون is a stream in heaven. God told it to become solid. God told this stream to become solid. It became solid. And then it became a pen. And so God told the pen, or this pencil, to write in the Lawha Mahfuz, in the preserved tablet. So what this report tells us is that there is an existence that is even loftier than the Ummul Kitab, than the Lawha Mahfuz. And because we know that the first existence to emanate from God, this Noon in Qalam, is nothing but the lofty existence of the Ahlul Bayt. And therefore, there are some rawayat. Of course, I have not read these rawayat myself, but I read Ayatollah Hassan Zadi referring to these rawayat, where the Imam says, أول ما خلق الله القلم. So it corroborates the same point, that Noon and Qalam are the same thing, and they are the same thing as the Noor Muhammad wa Ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And there are other riwayat to support this as well. So the point is that the level, the existence, the lofty and supernal existence of the Ahlul Bayt is the highest level of existence. But regardless of that, at one point, the existence of the Ahlul Bayt and the existence of the Ummul Kitab and the preserved tablet are one and the same. They are identical. The existence of God emanates forth. The existence of the Ahlul Bayt is created. The Ummul Kitab is at one, that highest level of existence, identical with the existence of the Ahlul Bayt. And then this existence emanates downward. This existence emanates downwards, and when it gets to the world of multiplicity, the Alam al-Mithal, and afterwards Alam al-Maddeh, this identity, this Vahda that was present in that high level of existence turns into multiplicity. And in this world of multiplicity, that high spiritual existence, that was one existence, has two full incorporations and manifestations in this world. There is a human manifestation of that highest level of existence, which is the bodily existence of the Ahlul Bayt. And there's a verbal manifestation of that lofty level of existence, which is the Quran. So there is that one transcendent lofty level of existence. When it comes into this world, there are two perfect manifestations of that lofty level of existence. One is the human manifestation, which is the Ahlul Bayt. The other is the verbal manifestation, which is the Quran. So they are somehow in the world of multiplicity separated. They are somehow separated. They're not totally separated. Aliyun ma'al haq wal haqqu ma'ali. And the Prophet has said, إِنَّهُمَا لَن يَفْتَرِقَا حَتَّى يَرَدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضَ. They will not separate. Okay. So they are, in a sense, separated. There are two manifestations in this world. So what happens on Laylatul Qadr that makes it a reunion of these two manifestations is that the Hujjah of the time, the divine viceroy of the time, the Khalifatullah of the time, he makes the fullest contact with the Ummul Kitab, the fullest and highest contact that he can make with the Ummul Kitab at and in this night, in the night of Laylatul Qadr. The night of the Laylatul Qadr is a night wherein the Hujjah experiences the most perfect knowledge that he can experience of the Ummul Kitab during each year. And it is this experience, it is that the experience of Hujjah, the Hujjah's experience, the Imam's experience of that unity, of that sublime unity, that is called the reunion of the two Qur'ans in this night. That is the reunion of the two Qur'ans. The highest and most intense experience that the Hujjah of the time has of the Ummul Kitab. Now you might say, one question might arise in this relation. And that question is this. Don't we believe that the Ahlul Bayt always have knowledge of ma kan wa ma yakun wa ma huwa ka'in? Don't we believe that the Imam of the time has knowledge of everything at all times? Yes, we do. We do believe that the Imam has knowledge of everything. There are many, many riwayat that say that. And we know that he is always in contact with the Umm al-Kitab in some way. Okay. But when we read the riwayat from the Ahlul Bayt, we understand that there are certain fluctuations in the contact between the Hujjah and the Umm al-Kitab. We don't know why these fluctuations are. Okay, this isn't something that we can comprehend. Okay. It's beyond us. But the Ahlul Bayt themselves have told us that there are certain fluctuations. There are multiple riwayat in Usul al-Kafi Kitab al-Hujjah. There is one full chapter designated to the riwayat that say that the Ahlul Bayt yazdadu fi yawm al-Jum'ah. On Fridays, their knowledge and their existence expands. We don't know what that means. But we know that there are fluctuations in the knowledge and the existence or the existential experience of the Ahlul Bayt. And we know that the fullest experience that the Ahlul Bayt have of that level of existence where it is utter unity is on the night of Qadr. And that is the reunion of the two Qur'ans that Imam Khomeini refers to. Now, as regards this question that I just mentioned, how can we reconcile this fact that they always have knowledge and the fact that there are fluctuations, that on the Laylatul Qadr, they have the fullest experience of that lofty level of existence? There is a very interesting riwayah. Very interesting riwayah, again in Al-Kafi, from Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. There is actually in the Kitab al-Hujjah, the book of Hujjah, the book of Divine Viceroy in Kitab al-Kafi, there is a bab, there is one section designated to the riwayat relating to Surah al-Qadr. They're all very profound riwayat. They're all one of those, they're among those riwayat that are very, very profound, very hard and difficult to understand. Now one companion of Imam Baqir had the same question. He couldn't understand what it means that they receive knowledge from the mother book on Laylatul Qadr when we believe that they actually have knowledge of everything at all times. So he goes to Imam Baqir. It's a lengthy hadith. I'm just going to just read parts of it. وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ لِأَبِي جَعْفَرَ يَبْنَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَا تَغْضِبْ عَلَيَّ. O son of the Prophet, you won't be upset with me if I ask you something. He said, no. The Imam says, قَالَ لِمَاذَا. Why should I be upset at you if you want to ask me something? قَالَ لِمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ عَنْهُ. قَالَ قُلْ. The Imam says, okay, ask. And then again he says, لَا تَغْضَبْ. You won't be upset at me? The Imam says, no, I will not be upset at you. He says, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ قَوْلَكَ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَادِرِ وَتَنَزُّلِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالرُّوحَ فِيهَا إِلَى الْأَوْصِيَاءِ يَأْتُونَهُمْ بِأَمْرٍ لَمْ يَكُنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدْ عَلِمَهُ أَوْ يَأْتُونَهُمْ بِأَمْرٍ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَعْلَمُهُ وَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَاتَ وَلَيْسَ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا وَعَلِيٌّ لَهُ وَاعٍ. On the night of Qadr, is there some knowledge imparted to the Hujjah that the Prophet did not have? Because we know that whatever knowledge the Prophet had, he imparted to Imam Ali. And then from there to the other successors. So in effect, he is asking, how is it that you increase in knowledge on Laylatul Qadr? Then there's other parts of the dialogue that continues, and then the Imam says, قَالَ. Imam Baqir says, قَالَ فَفْهَمْ مَا أَقُولَكْ. Try to understand what I'm trying to say to you. إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَمَّا أُسْرِيَ بِي لَمْ يَهْبِدْ حَتَّى أَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهِ جَلَّ ذِكْرُهُ عِلْمَ مَا قَدْ كَانَ وَمَا سَيَكُونَ وَكَانَ كَثِيرٌ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ ذَلِكَ جُمَلًا. يأتي تفسيرها في ليلة القدر. When the Prophet of God went to his nocturnal journey to see God, Isra, he did not return to earth except that he had received knowledge of everything on that journey. But then what happens is on Laylatul Qadr, there is a sort of exposition, there is a sort of expansion, interpretation of that knowledge for the Prophet. كذلك كان علي بن أبي طالب قد علم جمل العلم ويأتي تفسيره في ليلة القدر كما كان مع رسول الله. The same with Imam Ali. Alright, so the conversation continues and the Imam keeps on telling him, reiterates the same point over and over again. It gets to a point where the Imam says to this person, هذا مما أمروا بكتمانه. Finally, the Imam says, this is something that we cannot tell you. This is just something that is beyond our comprehension. What we know is that the knowledge and the existential experience of the Imam escalates exponentially on Laylatul Qadr, and it is because of this that all these blessings are showered on the earth on this night. But this should not mean that we should expect that we would understand all the details of this experience. No, we know that this experience is just like scientists know that there are black holes, but they don't know how they exist. So not knowing how something exists doesn't mean that we should refute it. So we know that Laylatul Qadr repeats every year, and we know that the Hujjah of the time, the Hujjah of the age, receives divine knowledge or somehow expands his knowledge on Laylatul Qadr. And this happens year after year after year. So that's as regards this point. The next point that I would like to mention is something that you guys have heard a lot. And that is, there's a riwayah in Tafsir Furat al-Kufi. There's a riwayah in Tafsir Furat al-Kufi. Furat al-Kufi was one of the scholars of the Shia faith during the time of the Minor Occultation, around that time. He relates a very interesting riwayah report in his book. The report, the chain of transmission goes back to Imam Sadiq, and in this report, Imam Sadiq says, أنه قال إن أنزلناه في ليلة القدر أي ليلة فاطمة والقدر الله. Say salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
Al laylatu fatimatu wal qadru Allah. Faman arafa fatimata haqqa ma'arifataha faqad adraka laylat al qadr. That's a huge concept out there. So we say it, but we never actually know what that means. So inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to elaborate to the best of my knowledge, to the best of my very imperfect knowledge, what this means, inshallah ta'ala. So at least I would have some understanding of what it means to say that Fatima is Laylatul Qadr, although unfortunately again we're running out of time. Now to explain this, again, we must go back to the cosmic scheme of the world that I've explained, that I've referred to a few times. But this time, another aspect of it. It is a known fact, based on the verses of the Quran, the riwayat from the Ahlul Bayt, and based on the teachings of Islamic philosophers, that existence, the world of existence, constitutes a cycle, a metaphysical cycle. We're not talking about the cycle of life that is something, you know, you hear in cartoons about what happens in the wild. No, we're talking about this cycle of existence. In other words, this world exists by way of the emanation of existence from God. This emanation descends down, creating all the worlds and all the realms and all the various levels of existence that I've referred to before. And it descends until it reaches the lowest possible level of existence, which is the material world. And then from there, it ascends back onward toward God. Verse 5, Surah Sajdah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره ألف سنة مما تعدون. God manages the affairs of the heaven onto the earth. Sama here does not mean the galaxies. Usually Sama in the Quran does not mean the galaxies, the stars, the heavens that you see. Sama means the metaphysical heaven, the highest realm of existence, not the farthest reaches of the galaxies. So يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره ألف سنة مما تعدون. God manages the affairs of the world from the highest level of existence and onto the earth, the lowest level of existence, and then this existence returns, ascends back to God. ثم يعرج إليه, returns back to God in one day whose length and extension is 1,000 years according to your calculation. And as our scholars, as our mufassirun, as the Quranic exegetes tell us, alf sana here does not actually mean 1,000 years. It just means an indefinite period of time. It means something that we cannot calculate. So existence is a cycle. In the language of philosophy, this cycle has two arcs. One is called the arc of descent, قوس النزول. The other is called the arc of ascent, قوس السعود. So this cycle of existence has two arcs. One arc, the one that comes from God, the one that emanates out from God, is called the arc of descent, and the other is called the arc of ascent. In the language of the riwayat, and in the language of religious mysticism, the qaws al-su'ud and the levels of the qaws al-su'ud are referred to as layl. Layl is a symbolic reference to the qaws nuzul, to the arc of descent. And yawm or day is a symbolic reference to the arc of ascent, the return back to God. It is for this reason that in this verse, yawm is mentioned only in reference to the uruj. Fi yawmin kana miqdaru alfa sanatin. The uruj, the arc of ascent, is referred to as yawm. And in the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt, there are instances where the Hujaj, the God's viceroys, the Imams, are referred to as Ayyamullah. The Imams are referred to as Ayyamullah. This is again a reference to the Ark of Ascent. So, based on what we have talked about previously, that the lofty existence of the Ahlul Bayt is the highest level of existence, okay, what we infer is that the Ahlul Bayt are the means through which the arc of descent is completed. It is by means of them. God's existence emanates through them downward. So it is through them that the arc of descent is completed. And it is through them that the arc of ascent is also completed. Because they are the highest existence. And it is for this reason that in Ziyara, Jama' Kabira, you have this phrase, this key phrase. Bikum bada Allah wa bikum yakhtim. Bikum bada Allah. They are the link, the connection linking the arcs of descent and ascent. Therefore, they are the layl. There's the punchline. They are the line, they are the layl, the night, in which existence descends from God, light, night in the symbolic sense that I talked about. They are the layl, or the night, through which existence descends, and they are the yawm, through which existence ascends back to God. Every one of the Ahlul Bayt, every one of the 14 infallibles has this function. Why? Because we know that kulluhum nurun wahid. They are all manifestations of this same unified, single, lofty existence. All the 14 infallibles. Kulluhum nurun wahid. So each one of them is the layl that descends from God, the arc of descent that descends from God, and the yawm that ascends back to God. In other words, every one of them is Laylatul Qadr. Every one of the Ahlul Bayt is Laylatul Qadr in this sense, in the sense that I've just explained to you. Laylatul Qadr means that arc of ascent that then functions as the arc of ascent going back to God. So why is Sayyida Fatima, why is Hazrat Fatima singled out in this riwayah as being the Laylatul Qadr? It is because of the pivotal role that she had to play in this world. She is the mother of all the Imams. She is the mother of all the rest of the Imams. So it is as though God's existence comes down to her. She is the vessel receiving divine existence, and she is the vessel through which the Ayyamullah, through which God's Hujjaj complete the Ark of Ascent. It's because of this function that she plays and no one else can play. So all the Hujjaj, the Prophet, and all the 14 infallibles, they're all Laylatul Qadr. And this sense that I've just explained to you, and this symbolic, mystical language that I've explained to you, all of them are Laylatul Qadr. Okay. But there's a reason that Hazrat Fatima is singled out as the Laylatul Qadr. And I explained to you what that reason is. Now, a question that arises, and I will take up in the next session, is this. The explanation that I just gave you of Laylatul Qadr and the explanation that is implied by this riwayah that I read to you, wherein Imam Sadiq says that Sayyidah Fatima is the Laylatul Qadr, does not seem to be compatible, at least apparently, doesn't seem to be compatible with our common understanding of Laylatul Qadr. So what can we do with this contradiction? What do we do with this contradiction? And how can we reconcile these two understandings of Laylatul Qadr, the common understanding of Laylatul Qadr, which we read in the tafasir of Surah Al-Qadr, in this very lofty interpretation and understanding of Laylatul Qadr, which is implied by the riwayah from Imam Sadiq that I've read to you. Inshallah, next session, inshallah. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin.